for vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, to let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see now, see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. Let God bless this reading. Shall we commit our time in prayer to God? Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to come into your presence and to open thy precious words and to learn from your words, Lord. It's truly wonderful that you given this ancient word in our hands. These words that have gone through so much persecution, so many tried to destroy thy word, but it sustained the test of time. And today in our generation, you blessed us, Lord, with the language we can understand. So it's all translated so carefully by many men and women of God. And today we hold our Bible in our hands. And how wonderful it is, Lord, and how encouraging it is that we, whenever we read your word, we can learn from you how to walk in our life and how to lead a life that is desirous of thee and to know thy will and to walk according to your will. And that's truly remarkable, God. And we thank you, Lord, for the scripture you've given to us. And help us, Lord, as we are going to complete our study on Galatians. We are so thankful to thee, Father, for blessing us through this series. Over the last few weeks, we read this wonderful epistle written by thy servant Paul, and we learned a lot of lessons. And even now we are going to step into the last chapter of this epistle. Teach us, O Father, we are here to learn from you, Lord. And O Spirit of God, move amongst us. We like to empty our cups today, Lord, so we can learn new things from thee alone. And help us, Lord, to be a Christian, to be a light to this dark world. When we look at the news, Lord, how diverse and how divided this world is. And this world needs so much of thee. And we trust thy gospel is the only powerful message that this world need at this current moment. Father God, help us, Lord. Prepare each and every one of us and make us bold and to present thy gospel boldly to this dark world. And help us, Lord, and to strengthen ourselves as you've given us a sweet fellowship of thy servants, of thy saints. What a wonderful privilege it is that you've given this fellowship so we can strengthen ourselves and help us to go and present you when we are in the midst of this world. and guide us, Lord Jesus. We commit this time and the rest of the moments we are going to spend in your presence in thy precious hands. In Jesus' name, ask everything. Amen.
Amen.
Right, I first of all, I thank you all for your prayers. It's been difficult days for me, to be honest, but God is good. God is truly good. And, you know, the Bible says that in our weakness is our strength. And I can experience the power of that verse, but our God is my strength in my weakness. And that's truly remarkable what God is doing in my life. So I'd like to encourage you all. I take this time to encourage you all. If anyone is going through physical ailment or physical difficulties or spiritual difficulties in your life, our God is good. And we have a wonderful God. And irrespective of our circumstance, He knows who we are. He knows how frail we are at moments. And He can strengthen us. And He can strengthen us in a way no one can able to strengthen like God does it for us. Also, it's given us a responsibility as a fellowship. It's a great opportunity, isn't it, to pray for one another. And and your simple text messages often encouraged me. So I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. Continue to pray for me. And this week has been really challenging for me to prepare God's word. But I have the habit of... I won't push anything to the last moment. I always prepare beforehand. So that habit kind of helping me. So I've been preparing this for the day since Charles given me this responsibility. I've been thinking on this subject and that really helping me to present God's word today with you all today morning. So let's go into the subject. For some reason... Right. I can't use this little control... So the subject I have today morning is walk in spirit. Walk in spirit. And that's truly wonderful, isn't it? Only children of God can able to understand what this really means. Walking in spirit. The worldly people will never understand what walking in spirit means. Because for a man born of flesh, the spirit is dead naturally. And only by the work of the Holy Spirit, our spirit is getting quickened and it becomes the residing place of the Spirit of God to dwell within us and it enables us to walk in spirit. And that's truly wonderful. And I'm sure everyone here accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you're all walking in spirit. So in that context, I prepared this chapter, the very last chapter. Also, I was thinking, it's good to go back as well. It's been quite like few weeks now, like almost 6-7 weeks. We studied the book of Galatians and we learned a lot. So it's good to go back and reflect simple thoughts from what we learned so far. So in chapters 1 and 2, I just want to recall what we learned. Paul is writing this letter to the church in Galatia. Because there is a problem in the church, because there are few false teachers who are bringing the Judaism or the laws of Mosaic law into church. And Paul is a wonderful man of God, and he's the one, I believe, who planted the church in that region. And now he's writing to the fellow believers in Galatia, and This letter is for believers and it is for the church, and it's very much we can apply it to ourselves. Every instruction we read in this epistle, we can apply to the believers because we all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing Paul points in this letter is only one gospel. And I find it very interesting, right? There is only one gospel. And today we learned there are many gospels. When I was first very new to this country, I met a person in the high street. He's from Jehovah Witness, and that's my first encounter with a person or is a couple from Jehovah Witness. I never met anyone before in my life, and I thought they are Christians. So as I'm very new to the country, I was excited to see another Christian, and also they. Giving distributing tracts, so I want to spend time with them. And during the discourse, I understand their stand about Lord Jesus Christ. And I was shocked when I listened to them and I heard from them that they denied the divinity of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I was thinking, oh dear God, how come someone can deny the divinity of Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is very clear. Whoever denies that he is the Son is a liar. Isn't it? Let's turn to John chapter, 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to go through all the known verses, but maybe for the young people it will be useful. So, for one, in 1 John chapter 2, we have this, in the epistles, John is writing, verse 22. Who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. In verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The text is very clear, isn't it? Whoever denies Jesus Christ is God or the Son of God is a liar. Not only that, he is Antichrist. So we have to be very careful in the day and age where we are living now. We have to be careful to when we meet people who can distract us from our faith. So there is one gospel, and that's one point. I'm not going to going through in detail. So there are verses we have in the scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have verses from 3 to 5. Paul clearly demonstrating what is gospel. Gospel speaks about the death of Christ. Gospel speaks about the crucifixion of Christ, the death of Christ, also the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel we all believe in. And that's the gospel as Colliero Assembly all, we testify in this part of Romford. And we are not going to deviate from that, I believe. So that's the first point I like to make today. So there is only one gospel. And Paul is talking about his apostolic office and the one God called him to be an apostle. And I want to just highlight these points and go forward with my subject today. So there is Paul's argument that how we encountered with Peter, and that's something wonderful, isn't it? Peter is one of the senior member in the early church, but still we have a young brother, or the young one who is the final one who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in the order of the discipleship or apostleship. We have Paul is confronting Peter, and there is so much brotherly love there. And Peter accepted Paul's argument, and later he corrected himself. That's truly wonderful, and something we can learn as an assembly, how we can learn from each other. And we have this wonderful statement Paul is making in chapter 2 and verse 20. He's telling, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's a wonderful and remarkable statement, isn't it, in the whole of the scripture. And that's giving a clear definition how we have to live in our life. The life we now live is life living in faith. It's not that we have to live in our own accord, but we have to live in faith. That's why I thought of today's subject is walking in spirit. So we have to walk in the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who dwells within us. That's truly wonderful. So Paul is making the point very clear here that I am dead to my old life, all my desires, all my philosophies, all my lessons I learned in my life. I'm dead to that. I'm no more alive to that. I'm not going to bring it back into my life again. Okay, but now I'm going to live in Christ. I'm going to be a new being in Christ. And I'm going to live by faith in Christ alone. And that's the point Paul is trying to make in first two chapters. And in 3 and 4, we could see how Paul points the mistake in the assembly there, in the church there, and how they are divided because of that. And Paul is making these wonderful arguments. We have studied this in detail in the last few weeks. So Paul is starting the third chapter. He's telling, oh foolish Galatians, how can you go back to law? How can you do that? And he's asking this question, how did you receive your new nature? Do you receive it by the work of the law or by faith? How you receive this new nature? And that's a wonderful question to you and me today morning. How we receive this new nature? How do we receive this new nature? We talk about the newness of life. We talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we receive it? We received by faith. We put our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we received it by faith, not because of our own works. And Paul is making that point very clear. Can you add anything to the new new nature? In chapter 3, verse 3, we read that. Can you add anything to this? No, you can't do anything. Because it is by the grace of God you receive this new nature. And the justification, what we received, is by faith alone. And Paul is trying to make that point by going back to all the historical lessons from the Old Testament. And he's making this comparison of Abraham and the law and all these points. And finally he's telling them, just shall live by faith alone. Just shall live by faith alone. And salvation is through grace by faith. And he wants to make that point very clear to the believers in that assembly. There are a few words which always captures my heart whenever I read Galatians. Is in chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. How wonderful it is, dear brothers and sisters. He became a curse for us. The Holy One of heaven, the one was worshipped by all these holy creations, has become a curse for you and me. That's truly remarkable, right? Is there any way we can give our adoration and praise today morning to God? Because he became a curse for us. Let us exalt his name. Let us glorify his name. And let us worship him in truth and spirit. And our brother Greg, when he was preaching today morning, he said, we can worship and praise God anywhere, isn't it? We can worship him in our workplace. We can worship him on the way we are going to our supermarkets or to the workplace or to our colleges or to the schools. Doesn't matter where we are. We can worship him because he is wonderful. And what we did for us is truly wonderful. Okay, now I'll move on to the next. So the final two chapters, so he's talking about liberty in Christ. So no more you are debtor to the law, but you have the liberty. So what does it mean to refuse this glorious liberty we have in Christ Jesus? So he's telling in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's talking about the bondage of the law. He's talking about that. What about you and me? What kind of bondage we are all brought from? We have the bondage of sin in our life. Maybe you practiced a different religion. Maybe you born up in a household who practiced a different religion. Maybe you are born in a Catholic family. Maybe you are born in a Hindu family or other religious family. Or you may be born in a namesake Christian family. Your parents might have never said about Jesus, but they'll just go to church on a Sunday and they'll live the rest of the life without talking about Jesus or without reading the Word of God in your household. What kind of bondage you are freed from? And that is what Paul is telling you. You are freed from that bondage. And now you are standing in the liberty of Christ. And no more you have to go back to that old practices. No need for that. That's the way we can apply this practically to our life. No need to go back and observe the Lent, or no need to go back and do some strenuous walk to a pilgrim walk to some place. No need for all that, because you have the liberty in Christ Jesus. And how we have to use this liberty, that's what we will study quite quickly today morning. If you're talking about liberty, I read a book. It's a secular book. It's about man's searching for meaning. It's written by one of the authors who've been through the all the Jewish people Holocaust. Thank you, brother. So they've been through a tremendous stress in their life, isn't it? Millions and millions of people were in Dachau or in Auschwitz. They all put in these little chambers, and they were badly treated by Nazis during the time of the World War, Second World War. And when the NATO and soldiers, they went and freed, on the day of the freedom, these people, when they walked across that wired, the secured boundary, they can't able to really understand what's going on there. They can't able to really understand. Now they are free. They can walk across. There is no soldier to kill them or shoot them dead. They can walk across. But still, because of that, the trauma they've been through their life, they've never experienced, they forgot the meaning of freedom in their life. And still they behave like they were in that bondage. And that's truly wonderful. We can apply that in our life. The liberty that Christ has given us is wonderful. And we are free from our sin. Doesn't matter, you may be an alcoholic in your past life. You may be in one of the addictions in your life. Or you may be going through some trauma or stress or anxiety in your life. Anything. When we come to the grace and the salvation, when we come to that, when we accept the salvation of Lord Jesus Christ, we are all free from that. We are totally forgiven from our past life. And we are a new creation in Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the liberty we can connect to when we read those verses. And here we have, Paul is telling about all these 4 points, about the yoke of Christ, so, and the burdensome yoke of the law, and not to go back to become the debtor for the Mosaic law. And don't fall from grace, because God has given this grace. Don't fall from the grace, and don't lose one's direction in Christian race. So, few points I thought will be useful for us to recall. And in from verse 13 onwards, we can read there is a change in the direction what Paul is, when Paul written this letter. He's telling this liberty, the liberty you have now in Christ Jesus, is not to walk according to your flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. You have to walk according to the Spirit. You are in the newness of life. You have to walk according to the Spirit. And this liberty is not licensed to live according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. So now, we all have responsibilities, isn't it? And in Galatians, Paul is writing about responsibilities. How, as fellow believers, we have to be responsible for each other. I think that is the context Paul is bringing forth in Galatians especially. He talked about, or God talked about, how to walk in the Spirit. There are so much instruction in the New Testament how we have to walk in the Spirit. But in this particular chapter, we will be, the context will be like, how we as Christians, we have to walk in Spirit, and also how we are responsible for each other. And that is what he's trying to explain in the next verses from chapter 6 onwards. And in verse 25, as we read in chapter 5, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'd like to pause there for a minute. What is living in the Spirit? God has given the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, even before he's going through the water baptism or any of the practical side of salvation, when a person believes, the moment a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually what happened to that person? Spirit of God come and dwell within him. And he becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus. Right? Living in Spirit. The Spirit of God come and dwells within us. That is truly wonderful, right? That is truly wonderful. If you reflect upon the Old Testament, God resided in tabernacle. In the Ark of the Covenant, we know that, right? And there is a special place where the priests and children of Israel have a special way to go and approach God. But now, as in the new covenant, we have the greatest promise is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, dwells within us. That's wonderful, right? And now, you and me have a great responsibility that we have to live in faith and also in reverence to God. Because we are the house or the temple of God. Amen. We are the temple of God. And there we read that. I'll read one verse about the indwelling temple of God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read from verse 14 onwards. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of harlot? Certainly not. Did I miss something? Chapter 6. Yeah, sorry, verse 19. Verse 19. Or do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not from your own? So the body we live in, now we have a tremendous responsibility. We become the temple of God because the Spirit of God dwells within us. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, we have another verse. Chapter 3, verse 16 onwards. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And that's another remarkable word Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. So now we have the responsibility, isn't it? We are the temple of God. And verse 17 is so clear. If anyone defiles the temple of God, what God will do to him? God will destroy him. So dear brothers and sisters, we are in grace. We are under grace. No doubt in that. But we have responsibilities. We have to take care of what God has given to us. God called us into this newness of life. That doesn't mean we can just live our life as we wish. So we have to take care of the Spirit of God who dwells within us. And for that we have to work. Work out your salvation is another Paul's statement. So we have to work on our salvation. So let me quickly go into my study. I think I can finish at 10 past, right?
We started about the quarter past.
So 10 past should be fine. Isn't it? Right. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we have the responsibility to walk in the Spirit. What is walking? I remember when I was a little boy, I can't remember my early days, like when I was like 4 years old, 6 years old, I have a memory of what happened there, or what happened then. I remember somebody taught me how to walk. Somebody taught me how to ride a bicycle. Somebody always there, my dad or my mom or my granddad or my grandmom or one of my extended family members or one of our neighbors kind of helped me to learn something, right? To physically grow, and I'm learning something every stage in my life. And here we have the Spirit of God who is teaching us how to walk. How to walk as a new babe in Christ. He's teaching us how to walk. And how we can grow and to be a fruitful Christian as we grow. And that's the wonderful thing Paul already spoken in chapter 5. That we have to become a fruit-bearing Christian. Right? Our Christian life should be giving forth fruits. And he's talking about all the fruits, the love and peace and joy. He's talking about those fruits, the fruits of the Spirit. And that is what God desires from you and me. Not to live a life in our own accord, but live according to Spirit of God. And we have that great responsibility to learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit in our life. And we need to devote our time to spend time with the Spirit of God or with God in to know how we can grow in the knowledge and in the wisdom of God. And that is truly important in our life. So let's invest our time in doing so. Let's invest every day of our time. Not just during the family gathering. I know that every family, we have a family meetings in the mornings and in the evenings. We do that. But what about our personal life? How much time we spend alone in quietness with God, and how we can learn from Him how we can walk in Spirit. And the instruction here is for a corporate instruction Paul is giving, and he said, "Do not provoke one another, envying one another." That is not the spiritual walk. But unfortunately, in many assemblies, I've been to 4 or 5 assemblies in my life, I've seen this problem of brethren envying one another. That is not the desire of God. Let us not provoke one another. Let us not envy one another. Everyone in our we have gathered here have a special gift from the Holy Spirit. And let us try to understand what the Spirit of God has given us, and let us apply that in our church life, in our family life, in our calling. Let's apply that gift. It could be anything. And not to provoke one another or envying one another. That's a wonderful teaching we can learn from the very end of chapter 5. And in chapter 6, we step into chapter 6, and here we read, "Brethren, if a man overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness." So, that is the first verse. So, is to carefully and prayerfully restore the fallen. That is one of the instructions we have in the last chapter of this book. So, what happens? Here, Paul is not talking about to condone sin. If a brother or sister accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, being part in the fellowship of the saints, But if they still continue doing with their whole life, that means there is some problem with their salvation itself. Yeah? Paul is not talking about that. Paul is talking about something happened to a brother or sister, and because of that, they did a sin in their life. And when they come and repent of their sin, how assembly or how the church to react to that? You who are spiritual, that is something wonderful. Spiritual is not someone who are elderly, I don't think so. Or a person who is very knowledgeable about the scripture, I don't think so that as well. Who was driven by the Spirit, that's what I think. God moves amongst us, and he can move through anyone. Sometimes he moves through the youngest one in the assembly and bring out a great truth. So he moves in our assembly, dear friends. And he is there, and through that person, the Spirit of God, in all tenderness and in all meekness, corrects that brother or sister. And that is a tremendous responsibility given to you and me. And we have to bring that brother or sister back into this wonderful call. Not to just leave them. I have one example. Because I've been with you for 10 years. I never found any examples from my assembly experience here. But back in India, when I was a very young boy, our church was quite big. Like 250 or 300 believers used to gather. And there is one brother who came and divided the assembly into two half. Sadly, the assembly divided because of that. Somebody who is spiritually mature, should have went and instructed the brother not to do it, and should have corrected him. But they just left out. They all went silent. And as a result, the assembly was divided. Something very important, right? Something very important. We have to be very conscious of the work of the Spirit in the assembly. And there is one more example I have observed in my past. There is one brother who come and take part in the bread after consuming alcohol. He is a believer. He is a baptized believer. But we can smell. We can't sit next to him. But still he boldly took part in the bread and wine. So how we can deal with these problems? Is that the assembly can condone it because God is gracious? Or somebody have to go and instruct the truth from the scripture? So that's something we can learn. So there is a place of being strict and correcting the person, and the brother or sister not repenting, then there are instructions in the scripture that we have to obey and follow. But in this case, Paul is telling if a man or a woman overtaken in any trespass, let apply the spirit of gentleness and bring that person into the act of repentance. And also there is a warning there, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We have to be very careful. That's why Paul is very carefully writing. You have to be spiritually matured, spiritually led to do these actions in the assembly. Next point Paul is bringing in the light here, bearing one another's burden. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. So again, it's a wonderful, interesting point. And we are so grateful. We have wonderful brothers and sisters in our assembly, which I have testified, who demonstrated this in our assembly life. And something as young people, we can learn from our fellow believers, how we have to bear one another's burden. And that is fulfilling the law of Christ. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. And how we have to serve one another, not just spiritually, to meet this physical need as well. How we have to bear one another. And the third point, Paul, again, the next point he's making is to avoid self-deception. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Let us not be boasted in our spirit. Let us not be boasting. There is a wonderful verse in Jeremiah, isn't it? Let not the rich boast in his rich. Let not the wise boast in his wisdom, but what he has to boast? Let him who has to boast, boast in the Lord. Let our Lord be our boasting in our life. And how wonderful it is. So the scripture is very, very clear. He deceives himself if he thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. How wonderful it is. And in verse 4 we read, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. And here we have the idea of each and every one, the members of the body of the local assembly as well as the universal assembly, we have our own burdens to carry. There are burdens to carry in our life. We can't deny that. We have to carry the load on our own. And there are something we can share with others, but not all the burdens we have. So something, God will give us strength. So we have to rest and rely on our Lord Jesus Christ for our own load. And he will give us strength. In Matthew chapter 11, we have this wonderful verse, right? For my yoke is light and my burden is easy. Yeah. So come unto me, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's a wonderful thing we have experience in our Christian life. These are things I can't just speak for hours and hours. It doesn't mean anything to you unless you experience that and apply these in your practical Christian life. When hours of need and hours of trouble comes into your life, you have to go through these verses and get the encouragement from there. And the Lord will give you strength. And he will make the yoke light and easy for you to carry. We have wonderful testimonies in our assembly who are going through so many issues, but still they can able to stand and shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is. He alone can give us strength. He alone can give us strength. And in verse 6, I'm not going to touch upon this because we had a lot of instruction today morning. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And here we have this instruction, how we have to help. If there is a teacher or a spiritual leader, how we have to help that person, how to help the ministries, how to help the missionaries, financially giving them, both supporting them in our prayers as well as financially supporting them. That we have the instruction here. So it is one of our responsibilities. So the liberty we are called into have lots of responsibilities, isn't it? And one of our responsibilities is to support our fellow saints who are actively working for the kingdom of God. And with all means, we have to support them. And we have to share our homes if possible. And we have to share our meals if possible. And if possible, we can financially support them. So whatever the gifts God has given you, what are the motives God has given you, do that for the kingdom of God. And that's truly a wonderful thing. And God wants you and me to help another brother in need. He doesn't want a worldly man or woman to help somebody in need for the kingdom of God's work. He wants his children, his chosen people, to support his kingdom of God's work. And in verse 7 we read, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will reap also. So here we talk about laboring again, isn't it? There is a concept of labor. Paul is bringing forth this idea of you have to labor for the kingdom of God. As you say you walk in the Spirit, you have to labor in the kingdom of God. He talked about fruit bearing. He talked about burden bearing. And he's talking here now about seed bearing. How we have to labor in the kingdom of God. So sowing means many things, right? You have to preach the gospel. We have the responsibility of preaching the gospel. Preaching a gospel, sometimes we get tired of preaching the gospel. My grandma, she's a Catholic. And I still remember my uncle, he's my youngest uncle. He preached the gospel to my grandma for maybe 20 years. He never became tireless. He kept on preaching the gospel, presenting the gospel to her. And one fine day, she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One fine day she accepted. Dear friends, if you have any of your close ones still didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, keep preaching the gospel to them. Keep preaching the gospel. God will give us strength, and one day they will be born again. And that's truly remarkable. So let's present the gospel. Let's sow and we will reap it out. And that is a tremendous blessing God has given to us. And let's move on to the final verses in this chapter. Because of time, I'll move on to 17th verses. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Paul is writing about his the physical burden he went through bearing the cross of Lord Jesus Christ. And many of us didn't experience this in our life. Maybe few of us been through this, but not all of us. But if at all we get an opportunity to bear the mark of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's do that gladly. And here we have a great testimony from Paul. So finally, to close with, this is what I have. So in chapter, the end, very end of Galatians, we have these four subjects. We have to be a fruit-bearing Christian. We have to be a burden-bearing Christian. We have to be a seed-bearing children of God. And finally, brand-bearing children of God. How remarkable it is. And Paul closes this letter, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen."